Amen.
Just before Christmas this time last year, I was asked by my colleagues at work to give a Christmas performance, play a few songs. I'd resisted for a couple of years. I'm sure you've all seen The Office and David Brent. And that's put a pay to a lot of managers who think they can play a bit of guitar, but they don't want to be compared to the management style of the hero of the comedy. However, I eventually relented, and I did give a Christmas concert on one condition: that I could say a few words about Christmas from my perspective. So I gave them the best shot, all the Christmas songs I knew, the old ones, the favourites. We all sang along, especially Cliff Richard. They liked that one. And then I said a few words about Christmas from how I viewed it. To be fair, they listened to what I had to say as I asked them to peel back the superficial aspects of Christmas and look at Christ. I also asked them to seek out a church that Christmas time to find out for themselves. I was a little unsure about what sort of reaction I would get to my sermon. One lady said she went to a carol concert and the vicar was shouting and swearing at the kids when they were making too much noise. Another said her kids were in the Nativity, which was great. And yet another one told me, "Don't you know it's illegal to talk about Jesus at work?" However, I was asked to reprise my role this year, so it couldn't have been all that bad. Now, I think she was joking about me preaching at work. I wasn't really preaching, I just said a few words, honest. But it's a bit sad that the statement is, you get a feeling that Christmas is about everything and anything but Jesus. You may have watched that program on the BBC about liberties, and they've made a big play about their Christmas and how they were starting it in September. And the great adverts we see in November, John Lewis, Sainsbury's, they were in November talking about Christmas. For these big corporations, it's all about money. And I'm exactly the same. We make a lot of money at Christmas in our business. But presents, eating, drinking, parties, holidaying, is that all Christmas is about? You know, I've even seen Christmas cards with the greetings, "Happy Holidays." Why don't we just get rid of Christ altogether from the celebration? Now, don't think I'm a killjoy, because I'm not. I love all these things associated with Christmas. I love nothing better than hiding presents around the house for Louise. And this morning she was going everywhere trying to find her presents that I'd hidden around. And one of the things we like to do as a family, and especially with our niece Ninny this year, is drive around the estates and look at all the light shows, the fantastic light shows. And there's one in Oldfield in Tewkesbury. If you haven't seen it, it's worth going to. It's fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to my turkey this afternoon, especially as it's being cooked for me this year. But I think there's something more fundamental for us to consider. And I just want to say a few words about John's Gospel, the opening verse of John's Gospel. Now, greater minds than mine have considered this verse. More able preachers have issued forth. So I'm just going to tell you how I see it. John doesn't concern himself with how and where Jesus was born. He ignores the stable, the virgin birth, the wise men, the shepherds and the angels, and he goes straight to the crux of the matter: who Jesus is and why he came. Maybe because Matthew and Luke had already written about the Nativity story, he felt as though he didn't have to go over old ground and concentrated on a different focus. That first verse of John's Gospel, it's got some really powerful things to say, hasn't it? Things that we have to get our mind around. Difficult for us. It's amazing that a humble fisherman could write such a verse. In the beginning was the Word. There's an amazing symmetry there, isn't there, from the first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. That is a really bold statement, isn't it? The beginning of what? Time? Creation? Space? Yes. That's what John's saying, isn't it? And the Word was with God. With God in the beginning. And the Word was God. Not a God or of the gods, but the Word was God. You can't get any clearer than that about the nature and substance of the Word. And then in verse 14, what does it say? The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word, Jesus. Jesus became a man and lived like us. For John, it didn't matter about how it happened. He was more concerned with the fact that Jesus came at all. And what was the point of Jesus coming as a man, living with us, and ultimately dying for us? Well, the clue is in verse 12 and 13, isn't it? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, the name of Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. You can't buy it. Children born not of natural descent. It's not a physical thing. You can't be born into it physically. Or of human decision. I can't give it to you. I can't decide that you're going to be children of God. Or a husband's will. Sorry, ladies, you've got to make your own mind up. But born of God. In other words, bringing people back to God, enabling them to find forgiveness and become what God had intended us to be, his children. Isn't this the real meaning of Christmas? I don't know why you're here today, but I'm going to leave you with a Christmas challenge. Today, look beyond the trimmings of Christmas and look for Jesus, his saving power to transform lives and provide a route back to God, as described in John's Gospel. Amen. Well, let's sing our final song, which is Hark the Herald Angels Sing.